Gather around your speakers, hoop heads. It's NBA story time. Jamel Johnson here to spin you tales of NBA shenanigans you didn't know you needed to know. Like that time when a little startup league tried anything to be relevant, or when Ricky Davis earned himself a dumb nickname. I also love you, Ricky Davis. Catch a new tale on NBA Storytime every week, then listen to the postgame where I break it down with comedians, ballers, and what have you. Find NBA Storytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
In 2003, Nike signed 13-year-old Freddie Adu to a seven-figure contract. But Freddie didn't live up to the hype. He has turned down every single documentary project looking closely at the details of his career. Until now.
People are going to look at everything you did because of the hype surrounding your arrival and what they think you can be.
I'm Grant Wall, and this is American Prodigy, Freddie Adu, from Blue Wire Podcasts.
In this episode of the Wash Up Walk-Ons, we talk about George and CJ killing it for the 49ers. CJ goes for three touchdowns and a win against the Cardinals. George reappears after 8 weeks with a foot injury, and he does what George does best, and that's ball out. We talk about Drake having the Rona, and then we preview the Hawks matchup against Missouri that happens in a few short days. You know what it is. Let's have a day. Let's go.
Welcome back, Wash Up Walk-Ons fans, episode 175 of the podcast, and if I'm not mistaken, I do believe that this is the first podcast that we've had with somebody who probably has the Rona.
What?
Boys, I think I picked up the Rona at jiu-jitsu practice. Everybody's supposed to come in and not have it and check themselves. And, you know, take your temperatures, spray off with the disinfectant. But I don't have my sense of smell. So I maybe just have like a little head cold. Who knows? It's that time of the year. I do have allergies. I've always been clogged up. Kluver can attest from freshman year. I was spitting in everything. You know, I'm just a very stuffy boy. But I don't really have my sense of taste and I don't have my sense of smell. So I'm going on Monday to get the old Rona test, but we might be COVID positive on this podcast. We're a positive podcast.
Did that just happen this morning? You realize that?
No, it's been a couple of days. Christmas morning. I woke up and I was like, could I smell yesterday? Cause I don't think I can smell today. And then I told my mom and she showed me a bottle of vinegar and I could smell the vinegar. And then later on that day we had chili and I could also smell the chili. So I was like, Mom, I don't think I have it. But then yesterday and today I have nothing. Like I can't smell. Like I could take a shit on my own chest and I couldn't smell it.
Okay. Wow. So this is karma, right? This is karma.
I mean, if this is the karma that I get, then bring all the karma.
That's true. Okay? That's
because
true.
This is fake news.
You deserve the karma that you deserve is probably much greater on whatever karma scale is out there. that's pretty funny, though. That's pretty funny. You, for someone who might may or may not have the vid, you look pretty good.
Dude, I woke up this morning. And I texted my mom because she's here And so, you know, I don't want to give it to my mom. She's I'm not going to give my mom's age away, but she is older than 40. And
that makes sense considering that you're 26.
I don't want to give it to my mom. So I'm being cautious about that. But I told her this morning, I woke up and I could fight Thor if it needed me to. So
I could fight Thor.
Swear to God, I would fight him with a stuffy nose and I might call timeout to blow my nose.
Yeah.
But I could still fight him.
Okay. You have been known to the spring in the dorm was an interesting one. Really, probably something we did to ourselves starting in the winter. We kept our room like a meat locker and contributed to the poor sleep that I got freshman year. I would go to bed at midnight every night at the earliest, and it was maybe 65 degrees in the room at the warmest. And so I got a cold that lasted 3 or 4 months. That was an interesting time. And then in the spring, it was one of the more disgusting, you know,
I had my spit bottle.
You room with someone in college or, you know, you have a roommate, Kevin, we lived together for 4 years. There's things that you don't like, right? Kevin didn't like that I didn't do the dishes. Okay.
Drove me nuts, man.
Didn't do the dishes. Guess what? I do the dishes now.
Hey, good for you.
And it's actually a thing that I'm like super pet peeve about now. For some reason, I don't know why. It definitely wasn't for you. It's not for you, Kevin. But it's probably for my wife. Drake's thing was he spit in these bottles, Gatorade bottles that we'd bring home from the complex. You know, college athletes' dorm room. There's no less than 10 items from the snack station laying around the room at all times. And so we just had Powerade bottles laying all over the place and he would lay up in bed and I would just hear. And I'd just be like, dude, come on, bro. Like, what are we doing? And then I would get up sometimes and there would be like, I slept on the futon, which was underneath my bunk often, like 99% of the time. So I would get up into my bed sometimes and there'd be bottles of loogie just laying in my bed. And that was disrespectful on some level. And that's what it was. That was 19 year old Drake and Tyler living in a 12 by 12 room. Are you wearing a St. Louis Blues?
Yeah, bro, go Blues.
Is that what that is?
Yeah, it was supposed to be a little bit of a pun, like I have the Rona.
You caught the Blues. All right, cool.
Yeah,
a lot to talk about. First of all, thank you guys so much for listening to the podcast on Christmas Eve over the holidays. Many of you talking about listening to it while you drove to your family or when you woke up on Christmas Day. Like, it's so crazy that we're in your ears, in your living room, in your garage while you work out. Thank you so much. As many of you who listened to the end of last podcast know, we were able to donate $5,000 to the Children's Hospital, the UI Children's Hospital, this holiday season, 5 racks to the kids. Hopefully they bought some PS5s. And that's pretty incredible. That is all thanks to you guys who listen to the podcast, buy our merchandise, and subscribe to the Patreon. So that subscription to the Patreon not only gets you the perks that you see on the page, I should really add it to the Patreon description. You are contributing to a yearly donation to UI Children's through that. So
that should definitely be part of the Patreon.
Yeah,
that's a good selling point. That might be bullet number one.
It probably should be. So, you know, half of that money that you're half of your subscription goes to the kids at the Children's Hospital. And we're going to do that every Christmas. So 5,000 this year, we're looking to go bigger next year. Pretty sure we will. We're going to grow and keep moving. So thank you for that. Patreon.com/washupwalkons. And shout out to our unofficial sponsor, Grays. I don't know if you guys saw this. Again, we're not paid by Grace at all, but Kim and Pete, we've told you they're good people. They serve the Hawks twice on Christmas Day. twice. So we're going to get to it.
What a Christmas, by the way. Like, dude, if you can't spend Christmas with your family, but Pete and Kim are catering you for breakfast or for brunch and dinner, dude. I mean, come on.
So I remember when they catered our Thanksgiving or Christmas, maybe both. They went off.
They go off. And so they weren't able to
They had that place set up. They had the All-American Room set up like Harry Potter's Great Hall.
Yep, that's true. The Christmas dinner. Imagine Christmas dinner, the Christmas Harry Potter meal with the floating candles and all of that. Imagine that meal, that scene in the movie. I believe that's in number 4 during the – I think that's during the Triwizard
Tournament.
Yeah, during the Triwizard Tournament.
The tournament.
That's what our big meal room looked like in the complex. Decorations everywhere, tablecloths over the tables.
There was ice sculptures too.
Ice sculptures. Every food, all the foods you could want. And Iowa, who paused football activities last Tuesday or Wednesday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, sometime about a week ago. That was so dumb.
Didn't like that.
What is this podcast?
Kev, your library looks tremendous.
Yeah, let's talk about it. Did you move to a different room, or you suddenly did some adulting and put some stuff in your room, huh?
No, boys, my office furniture's here. So
you got an entire built-in back there?
They're cabinets that you can just bolt to the wall if you want.
It looks like a built-in from here.
Yeah, it's pretty nice, right?
You got the setup now, and the echo has decreased, so that's good.
It's good. Yeah, still need to get a rug in here, so hopefully.
What's up?
How does my hair make you feel?
Yeah, so for those...
Is that the longest your hair has ever been?
Yeah, ever. And I'm on my way to Mulletville. He's going to... I'm Theo Von's number one fan.
Yeah.
I'm a Theo Von fanboy, so I want to get a mullet like him.
So there's a lot of things about that. First off, your hair like grows pretty fast.
Fast.
And this is the first episode in... God, a long time that those who want to go and watch the YouTube version are going to get the 3-man perspective, because usually one of you guys is on their phone and doesn't have the video up. So for those who really like to see our three pretty faces, and I know there's a couple of you out there who do, you can go to the YouTube version and watch this. You get the 3-person perspective.
Of Kluver's hairline going back quickly. It's like, you know how geese, when it gets cold, they migrate?
No.
You didn't know that? You didn't know that ducks and geese migrated?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, your hairline looks like the formation from the book where we taught us, you know, the All Blacks book, where they taught you to fly in formation so that everybody gets there quicker and more efficiently. You got that efficiency hairline.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're telling me that what I'm rocking is efficient?
You're efficient, dude. You're aerodynamic.
Okay. I don't feel aerodynamic. I did some sprints the other day when it was warm out, and it felt bad. It felt not great. But, you know, that's what happens when you're 26. You start to lose that athlete. I actually, because I felt so clunky running, I added in some like athletic movements to my workouts recently, doing some single leg stuff. I gotta stay agile, guys. I'm trying to be the dad at 45 who can still work his kids in anything that they want to go at it in. So that's gonna be me.
Kluver, I'm going to take every opportunity I can to bully your kids viciously.
Okay. I don't know how many opportunities you're going to get unless you move back here, but hey.
Listen, dude, I'm planning on living in a van. So.
All right.
And I live in a van.
Now I can be the river. I can be there whenever you need me to be.
Okay. That's a little creepy. Christmas happened. Oh, by the way, so that's where I was going with this. So I don't know if Pete and Kim, they got to have family somewhere. I know that they have a daughter that helps serve sometimes the food with them. But they twice, so they could, they paused team activities. If you go to, if you have Kim on Facebook, she posted pictures of all the players coming to Gray's because they couldn't do it in the facility. All the players had to come to Gray's and pick up the meals. They served a big old pancake brunch. And oh my God. And then later on Christmas Day, like the night of Christmas, they were serving dinner. And just for them to offer up their time during the holidays and feed the Hawks, like, they are such amazing people. And truly a part of the Hawkeye family. Again, if you guys
and also shout out to the Hawks for making it financially worth it for our partners at Gray's to come and feed the Hawks.
Yeah,
and we're generous and they're generous.
And if you want to support Gray's, support small businesses, do it with Gray's and the chicken lips and whatever else they serve, because they're freaking amazing. It is December 27th today, 2 days after Christmas, and it is the 3 year anniversary.
The last time we ever played a football game.
Of the last time that we ever played in a organized sporting match.
It's really only been 3 years.
3 years to the day.
Dude, it's insane how quick a life can go downhill in 3 years.
Look at you now. You got the Rona and you live in Arizona. Oh.
Crazy.
And you got, I don't know what you have on your head. It's like a creature. The
washed up, man.
I was washed up's a good way to put it. I was going to open the podcast with, hey, let's all give our favorite memory of the game 3 years ago. But as we know, Kevin would not be able to produce any of those. And we've talked about that on the podcast.
I do remember the trophy ceremony at the end.
Okay.
I do remember that part.
That's good, because you were like kind of an integral part of that. You were.
I was holding the trophy.
You were on the stage with the trophy, so that's good. The game, you know, I watched there's a Hawkeye Chronicles Twitter account that I retweeted that showed kind of the highlights of the game. Drake, I mean, if there was a better way for the Wash Up Walk-Ons to go out, that was it. I mean, Kevin giving 110% of his body and brain to that game. Drake scores the winning touchdown from a couple yards out and throws
even maybe a quarter,
a half yard.
I did a half a yard.
And that was right after Weeding
got screwed.
Just barely. Yeah.
Wheats won us the game and I got the glory. So yeah. Appreciate that, Wheats. You're with the Browns now, still collecting a paycheck. I am here. So you got the better end of that deal, pal.
We got to have Wheats on here, man.
Absolutely. Great human being.
So Drake scores the go-ahead touchdown to put us up 27-20. Obviously the defense and Josh Jackson. And
oh, you got hit in the back, didn't you?
Got smoked, you know, Colton Rastetter. Yeah, Colton Rastetter, who we also need to have on the podcast to talk about some of his, that play included. The Ohio State game, we need to talk about it on air. We need to. I got smoked in the back, actually in the ass. And when it's, you know, 20 degrees out and you have a couple pounds of leather smack you in your hind quarter, doesn't feel great. Also doesn't feel great because we could have had about 20 more yards on that punt. That ball would have skipped like a hockey puck down that field. And my fat butt prevented it from doing that. Miguel kicked the most. I'm telling you, the field goal that Miguel kicked from 40, I think it was a 41 yarder, the most impressive field goal that I was a part of in 4 years. That includes the Keith Duncan field goal, the Marshall 57.
Yeah, I was about to say, what about 57
yards? It was more impressive than the 57 yarder. I dare say it was more impressive than Keith's entire performance against Iowa State in 2018 or 2019 when they were in the rain.
A very bold statement, pal.
I'm telling you, for a guy to make this field goal on that footing, we were in the low single digits of percentage of chance to put that through, and he found a way to do it. Absolutely incredible.
Dude, we had way more confidence on the sideline.
I'm fully aware of how much confidence the team had, and probably now the fans are listening to this thinking, well, son of a bitch, that's not good. Like, and it brings up a good point. Oftentimes the confidence in a PAT field goal unit is vastly overestimated. Because,
and that's become very evident in the NFL this year.
Yeah. Because it is not as easy as it looks. And when you throw conditions in there, and I don't know if there was a game that had worse conditions, you know, it was a top five condition game for us in Yankee Stadium that day. It was absolutely, I said it was artwork. It was true. He one stepped a 41 yarder on a ice rink. It was insane, dude. I'll never forget it. He was so pumped because Miguel just, you know, how he gets excited.
Good for Miguel. Oh, I love seeing Miguel excited. He's like,
it's true. Unaltered happiness. He doesn't hold anything back. He gets nerdy. He gets weird with it. He just lets his excitement reign free. And it's pretty freaking awesome. So 3-year anniversary of us playing and actually being, you know, we were still athletes after that. For a solid, I was a pro Fortnite player slash athlete for another 4 months slash pro weight gainer.
We got a podcast now, so.
We do.
Kluver, you'll enjoy making fun of this. Both of you guys will. Speaking of just being washed up and just irrelevant and dumb and shitty. The other day I walked into jiu-jitsu, not my first day whatsoever, to make this very, very clear. It was the first time I'd ever had this professor, though. It was a different class than I usually go to. And I walk up to greet him. I don't have my belt tied right. I didn't know that there was a proper way to tie your belt. And so I just got made fun of in front of the class by the professor because I'm the new guy who's not actually the new guy that still can't tie his belt.
Nothing teaches you more than public shaming.
And I got shamed.
It's true. It's true.
So I figured you guys would enjoy that.
I did enjoy it. Thanks.
I enjoy that because, you know, for those who, it reminds me of Iowa, and that's all I'll say. And I think that's a good thing. A lot has happened in the last, well, first of all, yesterday was crazy. Last night alone with football was, I don't know if you guys saw either the Coastal Carolina Liberty game or the Miami. Awesome, yeah. I mean, that,
I didn't see, so I thought you were going to start with the fact that CJ won his first start of the year on the first anniversary of his brother's passing.
That's crazy.
I think that's headline number one.
I'd love to talk about that, but the game was on fucking Amazon Prime. What the fuck is the NFL doing?
Oh, see, I was able to see it because it's a local game. So
What was I doing? We didn't watch that game. I don't remember what I was doing at that point.
I know Jeff Bezos has more money than all the NFL combined, but how about we let the people watch the goddamn game?
I feel you.
So, yeah, that's insane. Just to be able to watch George, first of all, George re-emerges into the NFL after like an 8-week hiatus and has a great day fantasy-wise.
No shocker.
He's got CJ, the golden goat, throwing to him.
The golden goat, dude. He was back. I don't know if you guys – oh, you guys didn't get to see it. The way CJ played, dude, he took a massive shot from Buda Baker, didn't flinch, got right back up, went back to the huddle. Then later on, this was one of the coolest plays I've ever seen out of a quarterback because it just shows how much fucking heart this kid has. A guy gets around the corner – gets a strip sack on him, right? Smashes his elbow as CJ is like getting back into the position. Ball's on the ground. CJ is one of the only guys who knows that it's a live ball. He gets himself off the ground, runs around the pile, and goes and smashes the defender who picks up the football. Just laid him out like amazing. He was the defender on bro, I love CJ so much.
Another guy that we need to have on the podcast because we haven't had CJ
He's
on.
He's not a big talker. I don't know if he'll do it.
He went on J-Bo's podcast.
Did he?
Yeah.
Then maybe he will.
Yeah. We could get him on here for 30 minutes.
Sure.
He starts talking to us and he'll find plenty to talk about. He isn't a huge talker, though. He kind of just goes out there and does it. And he's used to getting smashed. There was a few times that he got hit pretty hard.
But it's just like, you never count CJ out, dude.
No.
Just the toughest, grittiest bastard. And he just did it on a big stage.
He jumped out to practice the entire 2015 season.
Yeah.
So you guys weren't there. There was a practice. We were in Kinnick. It was very cold. And we were having a period where CJ was running like shotgun play action deep balls or something like that. And he was doing great. And Brian Ferentz makes a comment. He's like, CJ, he's like, you've got the most quarterback injury known to man. He's like, you can't get to the mesh point of an outside zone, but you can drop back and throw it 70 yards.
It's true.
Yeah. I think it was like the Northwestern week. He couldn't practice all week.
He was
taking the number one reps.
Yeah. I remember that too. He literally just suited for the game, basically. Like I think he probably went through some pain that even us as teammates didn't realize. And he's just that fucking tough. And he just got through everything. And he just, on game day, you knew, like, all right, 16's going out there.
He's going to play quarterback for us today. Like, it's very, like, I kind of want to say Ben Roethlisberger-esque, or, like, who else is just notorious for getting hurt all the time but never letting it stop him?
I don't know.
Ben Roethlisberger is the one that Stafford.
Stafford gets fucking hurt a lot.
Yes. Yeah. Very Stafford-esque in CJ. And all of Stafford's former teammates say that he's one of the toughest SOBs they've ever been around. And yeah. I think pretty much the same gets said for CJ. So I'm glad we got to blow CJ for 5 minutes after he got his first dub.
Awesome to go see. Like, all of Hawkeye Twitter loves it. It's so fun to just go see him and do well. 3 touchdowns, 200 some yards.
And I'll tell you what, dude, his stat line wasn't near what it should have been because a lot of his dudes did not come through for him. He put a lot of balls on the money where guys were smacking themselves on the helmet after the play.
This is all after the other night where he ended the game with a Hail Mary touchdown because he has a rocket launcher. I mean, you think about the last 3 quarterbacks we've had at Iowa. CJ, absolute rocket on his shoulder. Nate has an absolute rocket, and now Spencer, he's throwing it through walls.
Spencer and CJ's arm strength is probably very, very similar, and Nate just had him outnotched by a second.
Yeah, they're all so strong, dude. Pretty impressive. So CJ, awesome to see him get some time. And George, did you see his post game interview?
Bears.
He's like, I'm happy we can help out the Bears. I fucking love the Bears. He's like, the Bears. Thanks, guys. Walks off stage. I fucking love the Bears. It's just the most George thing.
He's the goofiest dude ever.
He is. Ever. Like, I'm so happy that he gets to be in the spotlight and shine. I will say this. He was that same guy in Iowa City. He wasn't the same player, right? He wasn't nearly as good as he is now. And even if he was in Iowa City, just the way that, you know, KF and we'd like to do it as a program, it was never about, not that it's about George, but in the NFL, you get to be a little bit more out there with yourself, with the interviews, you know, with how you dress, you walk into the state. It's a little bit more individualized. And it would have never had, like, George would have never been able to, like, interview like he would have, just because, you know, we would have kind of kept it under wraps. But George's personality, getting a chance to shine and truly just thrive in the spotlight in the NFL, it's really fun to see. Yeah. I mean, that's all this podcast is just, you know, putting our former teammates that are still worth something on a pedestal. Speaking of, Josie and his Christmas card was cute as fuck.
Very. So was Ike's.
Yeah, I mean, it's just great to see. Hey guys, want to interrupt the show to let you guys know that we are sponsored by Indeed. Yes, 2020 has already changed so many things in the way that we work, and businesses across the globe are challenged to be their most efficient
every day, which means that every hire is critical. Indeed is here to help. Unlike other sites, Indeed gives you full control and payment flexibility over your hiring. You only pay for what you need, you can pause your account at any time, and there are no long-term contracts. And now Indeed's new way of matching you with candidates instantly delivers a short list of quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job criteria that you can contact the moment you sponsor a job, making Indeed the only job site that can move as fast as you do. Right now, Indeed is offering our listeners a free $75 credit to boost your job posts, which means more quality candidates will see it fast. Try Indeed out with a $75 credit for free at Indeed.com/BlueWire. This is their best offer available anywhere. Go right now. It's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Offer valid through December 31st. Terms and conditions apply. Hey there, guys. The Hawks bowl game has been announced. They're going to be playing Missouri down in Nashville for the Music City Bowl. And this could be your chance to watch the Hawks play football in person for the first time all season. The stadium, they're letting in, I think it said 14,000 fans. And one of those fans could be you and your group of friends. Here's an opportunity, if that is you, if you've been considering, hey, maybe we'll go to the game. We have a chance to watch the Hawks play for the only time in 2020. Let's take advantage. Well, our friends at LandJet are going to take you down to the game in style. You guys got to check these guys out. LandJet.com. They're an Iowa-started company. They've expanded into a couple Midwest cities, and they are the perfect opportunity in these COVID times. You know, we're in peak COVID season now. They're going to take you down in their vehicles. It's a affordable, chauffeured, private ground transportation service. Again, check out their website. These vehicles, they're insane. It's literally like flying in a jet on land. They have amenities such as free Wi-Fi, TV, luggage space, refrigerator, tons of room to hang out, relax with friends, and just chill while you are chauffeured down to Nashville to watch the Hawks play. Walk-on listeners are going to get a 10% discount on their trip by using the code WALKONS, WALKONS. When you go to their website, LandJet.com, and request a quote, it's going to depend. Pricing is going to depend on how many people you're taking, what vehicle you'd like to take. Again, that's code WALKONS, WALKONS, when you go to LandJet.com and request a quote. Or you can contact them at an email, sales@LandJet.com. Please go check it out, guys. If you're considering going to the game, this is an incredible opportunity. Please go to their website, landjet.com, and check it out now. Code walk-ons. Ike, dude, his son is a Ike Jr. He's the ultimate Ike Jr. He's never looked more like his dad. There's no other kid that looks more like his dad at his age. I mean, every time I see him, I think, dear God, he's a bowling ball.
Dude's got a full head of hair already. Dude already has more hair than you.
Dude's already pass setting. He's already learning how to run block.
Katie gave birth to Ike's clone.
Yeah, which is poor Katie. and Rowan is just the cutest kid. Oh my goodness. If you guys don't follow Ike or Josie on social media, go follow them because they post pictures of their kid every once in a while, and it's amazing. Anyway, Coastal Carolina 11-0. They ran the whole season. They took BYU in the middle of the season. And they end up dropping one to Liberty. How did this happen? Well, guess what?
After everybody complained that Coastal Carolina got given Liberty when they should have got given somebody top tier.
Right. Liberty coming in and smacking.
Liberty's a damn good team.
Liberty's good as hell too. 10-1. So they both finished the season with one loss. Late in the game, it's 31-31, I think, or 34-34, and Coastal Carolina is they're trying to put up a goal line stand, but actually they end up just dragging the guy into the end zone. You guys have to search this play.
30 left on the clock, and Liberty doesn't want to score. They just want to
run the clock out
until, you know, there's 5 seconds left, kick a field goal, call a game, because Coastal Carolina doesn't have any timeouts left, and the Coastal Carolina dude is like trying not to score. No, the Liberty guy is trying not to score. Yep. And the Coastal Carolina guys or like drag him in,
pulling him into the end zone
so that they at least have a chance to get a touchdown. And the Liberty running back is like trying so hard not to score that he puts the ball backwards as he's getting dragged across the goal line and he just drops
it. Little Jonathan Parker
recovers on the 1 yard line. And
there's like 50 seconds.
I thought it would have been so funny if Coastal Carolina pulled that game out. It ended up going to overtime, and Coastal Carolina had a field goal block for Liberty to win. But it was just a crazy, crazy turn of events.
Unbelievable.
Wow. If I would have watched that, I would have lost my mind.
Not only that, but I think it was Liberty plus 7. So, like, there was, like, a lot of betting implications. They still covered, obviously, but there's like a lot going on. Not only that, I don't know if y'all saw Fitzmagic do his thing, but first of all, Myles Gaskin can absolutely get bent. Okay. Dude goes,
are you playing him right now?
I'm playing against Myles Gaskin. He hasn't gone for more than 24 points all season. He averages 12 a game in fantasy. And last night he busts for 31 points. One play.
I think half of them came on that one play. Right?
Half of them came on the one play. It was a 59-yard catch and run touchdown where Las Vegas proved that they tackle like the Big 12. So they can all get – and to insult to injury, in my other league, I'm playing Kamara.
Oh.
So how about just the fourth highest fantasy scoring day in the last 20 years, and I'm playing him in the championship. Now
– Wait. How is it only the fourth highest? Who's had more than that? Lamar?
I don't know who, but it's in the last 20 years.
Yeah, but who? There's only been one other person to ever score 6 touchdowns.
It's got to be.
I saw the stat that you saw too. I don't know who.
It's got to be quarterbacks because of the throwing.
It has to be Lamar.
It would be quarterbacks that had thrown for 5-6 touchdowns and also 400-500 yards.
And rushed for one.
And rushed.
I'm gonna look it up right now.
Yeah, Kevin can look it up. But for those that don't play fantasy, a good day for a fantasy running back. You're happy with 20 points. That's a great day.
You are happy with 20 points.
It's a great day. Alvin Kamara scored 56 points. So putting that into perspective, I'm still only projected to lose by 17. So I have a chance.
There's been actually, now that I think about it, there's been receivers who went for like 303 touchdowns also.
Yeah, I'm not sure who has better than him. Speaking of fantasy, Kevin Drake, you guys got into a nice little tussle over text yesterday that I got to basically watch from the sidelines on about how early in the season, I think it was on the podcast, right? It was on the podcast that Kevin said that Gronk and Tom Brady, he basically said that he would not take them. He would not like them on their fantasy roster. And after
told me they were bad picks.
He
said those are bad picks.
And they proved Kevin wrong to some extent. They ended up both being starting at their position. Gronk, after yesterday's performance, is the 9th best scoring tight end. Tom is actually 10th, but maybe moved up to 9th after yesterday. So both lower end QB TE1s on a starting roster in a 12-man league. And they're not washed, dude. And neither are the Bucks. The Bucks make the playoff for the first time since like.
Dude, I'll tell you what, their defense, especially their front 7, is scary. And they have the single best offensive setup in the history of football. And I don't think you can argue that better than Kansas City. They don't have a better system, and they don't have a better offensive coach, but they have a better makeup of players.
You think so?
How many points did Kamara have?
He had 50. Let me check here real quick, but I believe it was 56. It might have been 54.
So
this was as of September of this year. The highest quarterback ever was 49, Michael Vick with the Eagles back in 2015. Jesus.
He went for 54.7.
Clinton Portis, 2003, 55.4.
Jesus. Clinton Portis, what a name.
218 rushing yards, 5 rushing TDs, 36 receiving yards.
Wow. Alvin's stat line was, let's see here. Alvin's stat line was 155 yards rushing, 6 touchdowns, 3 receptions for 17 yards. Just, and not only that, but I didn't watch the game. I just watched my fantasy hopes die over the app. But I heard that Taysom Hill ended up actually running in a 1 yard touchdown that they could have just given to Kamara, and he could have had the first 7 touchdown game in the NFL. Mm-hmm. Like, what are we doing, Sean Payton? Hey, guy, give him the record. But I'm glad they did.
Back to this argument, Kluber. Let's
Jerry Rice went for 5 touchdowns one game.
He was all right. anyway, yeah, back to the argument. Tom and Gronk aren't washed.
Whose receiving core would you rather have? Would you rather have Tyreek, Kelce, and McCole, or would you rather have Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Antonio Brown, OJ Howard? There's one more.
I mean, you're right.
You have Tom Brady, probably the greatest football mind from a player standpoint of all time, running the show, and he's not washed. Let me not forget Gronk.
Yeah. I'm a huge fan of Ronald Jones, too. I think he's
the guy who you're saying is not washed.
What? Not washed, Tom and Gronk? They're not washed, Kev. They're top 10.
I'm talking to Drake, you goon.
I'm
couldn't remember the guy who's he's trying to argue is like, oh, I can't remember who this guy is.
Yeah,
oh,
I know.
I admit I was bearish on them at the start of the year, and they performed above average.
But Kev, that's not even my argument anymore. My argument is that Tampa Bay offense with Rojo, Fournette, Tom Brady, AB, Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Gronk, OJ Howard, with the offensive line that they have, is the best of all time. That's my argument.
I don't.
They don't.
But just simply by not okay. That argument. No, yeah. Sorry, I shouldn't have said that. The best theoretical lineup, like if you could pick of all the teams, you just put them on paper, and all the offenses that have ever been fielded. You don't look at what their performance has been, but you just look at the names and what, like, historically who their performances, et cetera, et cetera. Of all the lineups of all time, I would pick this Tampa Bay offense out of a lineup and be like, you know what? I want this one.
It's definitely up there. Gronk isn't what he used to be.
Yeah, I mean, if you take all the talent of those players in their primes, sure.
In their primes, no doubt, probably. But right now,
a lot of those players are in their primes right now, though.
Some of them, but AB isn't what he was because he was the best player in the league, and now he's kind of just a weird option that they brought in. Gronk is actually done a lot better than I think a lot of people thought he would, including Kevin, but he isn't what he was in his prime. Tom, though he still puts up crazy performances, I still don't think on a consistent basis he is where he was.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you think if you put Andy Reid and took his offensive playbook and installed it with those playmakers, you don't think they could score 70 a game?
They wouldn't score 70 a game, but they might score 45 a game. That would be dangerous. And I do think, yeah, Tom isn't Pat in the way that he's not mobile. Like, there is something to Pat's mobility that makes.
Yeah. This is not me knocking Tom, but Patrick Mahomes is the most pure, talented quarterback I've ever seen in my entire life.
Absolutely. 100%.
It's really hard to argue that. I don't even have a defense against it, but there is
I would say Aaron Rodgers.
I was going to say Aaron Rodgers has this something magical about him that I can't peg, but it's – I would almost lean to saying that if you're going to – there's no way to quantify that, right? Yeah. All you can look at is the numbers, and it's hard to argue with what Pat has done. But something about watching Aaron Rodgers play, it does feel like he has this understanding.
It's just like those two guys make the throws that no one else can.
Well,
I agree.
It's not even well, yeah, their throws are absolutely insane. It's something that you can't teach. But it's more about how they, you know, you talk about Spencer Petras, his pocket presence, his choppy feet, the way he feels pressure, the way that those two guys handle those situations. It's almost like how we talked about the game slows down for Tyler Goodson a little bit. The game slows. They're playing on like 0.5 speed and everybody else is playing regular speed. It's like they see stuff before it happens. It's absolutely wild to watch those two guys play. The fact that we're watching Tom Brady at the end of his career and we watched most of his prime during our young year, we were able to understand that. We're seeing Pat Mahomes take over the league and be the guy. And we also got to see Aaron Rodgers during that time. I know they talk about like Dan Marino and Steve Young, those guys, but I it would be hard to argue with Tom, Aaron, and Pat. I mean, those three guys are magical. I feel just lucky to watch it.
And see, the reason that I make the argument for Tom, it being able to be plugged into that Andy Reid offense, is because the thing about Andy Reid's offense is people get open, and Tom's got the best mind of anybody.
Yeah.
So people are going to be running free, and Tom is going to find them every single time because he's so dialed in on how to defeat defenses. Like, that's Tom's specialty. And yeah, these plays that Andy Reid's got are defeating the defenses for him almost.
You're right. You're right. It'd be possible to figure out that argument, but you're right. If I would not want to be the defensive coordinator or defensive player, if somehow Andy Reid got a hold of really the Chiefs players or the Buccaneer players, like, you just don't want to play either team really.
But I mean, the argument is the Chiefs have an offense that could potentially be the greatest of all time. Like, people have been arguing that for a couple of years now.
True.
And I just think that the Bucs are on that tier. You look at the lineup, and they're absolutely on that tier. But
yeah,
I digress.
How about just good for Ben being undrafted free agent linebacker on that team, because they are putting all the money on the offense.
What's great, too, is I thought about it the other day. It's awesome for Ben because they can't pay.
Pay a linebacker $5 million.
I was just going to say, I'm not saying that Ben's a bad linebacker. Ben is, and he's not, it's hard to say he's not riding the coattails of all of those offensive players. But if you aren't Kelce, Mahomes, I mean, Mahomes just got paid $500 million, dude. Kelce is riding his coattails.
He got a contract extension. Tyreek got a contract extension.
They cannot pay.
Chris Jones got a contract extension.
They can't pay anybody that's better than Ben, who's, for what he is, pretty damn good. They can't pay. So Ben's going to be on that team till he dies.
He's going to be collecting duffel bags from Kansas City with his Super Bowl ring
bags
for the next 10 years.
And you know what? He's not going to complain. You're never going to hear in the media, linebacker Ben Neiman asks for trade. No, no, because he's going to have a handful of rings. I'm pretty sure Kansas City wins
a bag full of cash.
And duffel, just bags. He's backing up the Brinks truck.
And we know how cheap, fucking cheap Ben Neiman is, dude. Josie Jewell's not the cheapest bastard of all time, Ben Neiman is.
Hey, yeah. I will say this, man. Ben's swag's been getting a little bit better.
He's up in the swag.
And those pregame walking in the stadium picks, he's been getting a little bit more swag.
Listen to me, dude. It wasn't but 3 damn weeks ago that kid walked into an NFL stadium to play 50 defensive snaps looking like it was ninth grade picture day. I'm not hearing his swag has upgraded. This guy hasn't seen the inside of a department store since he got his first contract. He's still wearing clothes that his dad bought him. Okay, Ben, upgrade your swag, kid.
Ben, you got a little bit better, but you're right, Kev. A couple of those picks, he has looked a little bit swaggy. Josie and Ben both are the type of guys who would drive back from Denver and Kansas City just to snag a quick training table meal from Iowa City and then go back so that they didn't have to pay for dinner or something like that. Like, they would both drive back to Iowa City to get some training table from their NFL cities, which is respect, because Ben's bank account is the fattest, I'm sure. And good for him. We should see if he could like sponsor us.
I'm gonna ask George for a sponsorship. You know, listen to this. Speaking of George,
speaking of fat bank accounts,
dude, this guy, you know, is those NFL t-shirts, those Nike Joker t-shirts.
Yeah,
dude, he said they had like a 2,500 allotment. He says his sold out in like 9 seconds or 12 seconds or something like that.
That's amazing. That's insane. Oh, George, anything George touches is going to turn to, it's going to turn green. Him and Claire got those glasses going on with that one company. They have their own glasses.
The Kittle collection.
The Kittle collection.
He's wearing them on the golf course the other day.
Yeah, he's got his own.
Still couldn't hook me up with a pair.
Yeah, he's
sure would be awesome if we could get some Kirk's dog shirt printed.
Right?
Sure would.
Fucking Neil.
Listen, I've been trying not to curse so much on this podcast. I don't know if it's been noticed or not, but I'm going to take this opportunity to say fuck Neil, and that's it.
Okay. Speaking of Kirk's dogs, they're lined up to play Missouri, and they were able to reconvene as a squad yesterday. They're ready to go. I'm hearing that they're just, you know, it's not hard to predict. They want to be done with the season at this point. A lot of teams, they didn't even choose to play in a bowl game. Iowa did. They've got Missouri. Missouri's 5-5 out of the SEC, a mid-tier SEC team.
Absolutely worked on defense the last couple of games.
They are really bad at defense. Although they did hold Vanderbilt to 0 points, you know?
Dude, I'm pretty sure that Muscatine High School could take Vanderbilt to the brink.
I think
Vanderbilt had a rough year. Dude.
I think Dowling might win a 5-game series 3-2 against Vanderbilt. There's a chance. I don't know anything about Missouri, and this isn't the Beat Writers podcast where you got Roberto Howe on here or Tom Cakert or Lystico. Like, we're not those guys. We didn't do the research. That you don't come to this podcast for the research. I'm looking at Alabama's schedule from this year. Alabama beat them by 3 touchdowns. Tennessee stomped them. They barely, I do remember actually watching the LSU game. They beat LSU barely in a shootout.
Yeah. The last 3 games, though.
Whoa, Kev, your mic just
went nuts. What is going on with your mic, Kev?
What?
Try
and, it's been fluttering for a while. Yeah, try and, it just went nuts.
But anyway, you know, they beat South Carolina. They don't have any good wins. They got stomped by Florida. A lot of fans are saying that this game was this isn't the team that they wanted Iowa to play. It's the team that Iowa got. So I don't have a lot of thoughts.
I'm just, I just feel bad for the fan base. We want to go to Nashville for so long.
This I know.
This is the year that we get it. Like, motherfucker, God damn it.
Nashville would have been.
Kevin just wants to go get hammered.
Yeah. Nashville,
yeah, right,
Nashville would have been a butt show.
A treat. Would have been a treat.
A treat. For the Hawkeye fans, there would have been a lot of beer consumed and it would have been a good time except for COVID. By the way, Drake, you should take your own advice. A little Tide Pod up the butt.
If I was suffering from all of the deadly consequences of this pandemic virus that we've been living in fear of for the last 8 months or something, I might take my own advice. But as it is, the only thing I can't do is smell my upper lip. So,
all right, well, there you go. Again, not a lot of thoughts here. Iowa should win this game. Kevin, do you know the line, what it opened up at?
2 touchdowns.
So that's a large line. Is that one of the biggest lines for Iowa all year? It's got to be.
I think it is the biggest.
Yeah, it's got to be. Illinois was 14 to open, but then it bounced down to like 10 or 11, I think.
Right, yeah.
So, you know, if Vegas knows anything, and they usually do, this is looking like potentially Iowa's easiest game of the year. That being said, games are never easy again, 11 guys on scholarship versus 11 guys on scholarship. Anything can happen. And
I think their best linebacker and maybe it's their best defensive or offensive lineman opted out.
Amir has opted out. Six is going to the NFL. He said he was going to go get that bag. His ankle probably still hurts a little bit from twisting it on the flip. But
did we see Davion in practice? Didn't expect that, to be honest.
Davion is playing, baby. Davion's going to play. What do you guys think about? We'll talk a lot about it, but where do you guys see Amir fitting in on an NFL team? Do you think he'll get drafted, or will he be a free agent?
I think he'll get drafted.
Late sixth, seventh round. Maybe higher.
He's a pretty dynamic player.
He's extremely dynamic.
I could see him going fifth round, maybe.
That'd be awesome. I would love to see it.
I'm gonna save my prediction until we see him run, because I think for him that's the only thing that matters. Yep. Is because he's a small framed guy.
Yep.
But small framed guys get it done in the NFL if they can really boogie, and we're gonna find out. I don't know how high he'll get drafted, but I think there's definitely, in today's NFL, there's certainly a spot for him.
And sometimes it just comes down to if a team falls in love with you or not.
It's true.
Right.
It's true.
Like, Henry Ruggs didn't have that incredible production compared to some of the guys, and he got drafted extremely high because he could absolutely burn.
Yeah.
So, like, if Henry Ruggs doesn't run 4.27, he doesn't get drafted in the first round, but he ran 4.27. So, we'll find out.
It's decently fast. Amir, is Amir a 4.3 guy?
Tavon was 4.3, I'd have to say it was close, right?
You're right, though. In today's NFL, we just talked about it. The offenses, we're spreading it out. Lamar Jackson, just let guys be athletic. There's not a lot of people more athletic than Amir Smith-Marset. So,
dude, on that front flip, he front flipped 7 yards.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, it's insane. What were you going to say, Kev?
I said, I don't know about 4.3.
He's in the 4.4s, no doubt, though.
I'd say 4.4s to 4.5.
See, at 4.5, there's big trouble.
Yeah,
that's big trouble in Little China if he runs 4.5. But I'm just
thinking back to when he was a freshman. I had to run with him down the field sometimes. Like, yeah, he got by me, but when blowing by me, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
Kevin's using himself as a gauge. I love it. It'll be interesting. No matter what, because of how dynamic he is and how just the plays that he's had on the field are just so explosive and exciting, he will get a shot somewhere.
The one problem is that they're kind of taking special teams out of the game. He's a really good returner. And if kick return was a predominant factor in the game, coaches would be like, okay, well, this guy can play receiver for us and he can be dynamic for us on special teams. But now they're just like, we're taking knees.
Yeah,
that's
super unfortunate. We'll actually be probably podcasting the second episode this week. Will be the recap of the game. The game happens on Wednesday at 3, I believe, and we'll probably hop on after that game and do a post game podcast, and that'll be Thursday's episode. So if it's 2 touchdowns, still, I don't have the current line, but what do you guys think?
I like the Hawks covering. I think
the Hawks run away.
Run away?
I think they run away. I think Missouri,
they're this bad. I don't know anything about Missouri.
Missouri didn't even start. They didn't have COVID issues, but they took time off until yesterday to start preparing for this game. So they both, Hawks and Missouri, both had the same amount of time to prep.
Last three outings on defense, this is what I was trying to say before apparently my mic cut out. They've given up 48 to Arkansas, 49 to Georgia, 51 to Mississippi State.
All right. and they lost their best linebacker?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I guess we're going to take the Hawks, and we're just going to take that hammer and smash it.
Smash it, that Thor hammer. That's really it. There's not a lot of analysis. If Iowa loses that game, that's a bad look to end the season, but I don't think they will. If they win the game, we finish 7-2, most likely ranked top 13, probably. Coastal Carolina just lost. So, you know, people are,
we'll move up a couple spots.
We'll move up a couple spots, probably to 13.
Won't be top 10, though.
No, won't be a top 10 finish, but what I'm kind of hoping for is that Iowa State somehow gets boat raced by Oregon and we finish the year higher ranked than Iowa State. That would be incredible.
Do y'all think they actually deserve a New Year's Six Bowl? Because I
don't. No, dude, they've got three losses.
No,
three
they
losses
don't.
In a shortened schedule is like, come on.
Yeah.
They had two losses and were gifted the number six ranking in the country.
Think about it this way. If you extend the, if you, for those listening, if you extend the season out to 12 games, this Iowa State
and add the Hawks to the schedule
and add the Hawks to the schedule, you may have an 8-4 football team. Like eight and four is, you know, 18th through 25th ranking in a normal year. So maybe. And so that's kind of where I see Iowa State. I think they lose their bowl game.
Depends which Oregon shows up.
It's true. It's true. But I hope
Oregon can be really good or they can.
Yeah, they're a very polar team. But I hope just to piss them off in a year where they didn't get to play for the Cy-Hawk. It's their best year they've ever had in program history. I hope that Iowa wins convincingly and they lose convincingly enough that it ends with like Iowa State ranked 13th and Iowa ranked 12th. And I would be nothing would make me happier.
Because what are they ranked now after they lost?
I believe they're 10th. Yeah. 10. So they could very
three
easily.
Losses.
10th. And they'll have, if they lose, they'll have four losses. Iowa will have two. And who knows? That's it. That's it. Anything else?
No. You just got to say it one more time for last time of the season. It's Hawks by a million, baby. Let's go.
By literally a million versus the Missouri Tigers? What? They are so bad. We're going to win by 40. That's it. Episode 175. Drake's got the Rona in Arizona. Kevin finally got some furniture. It's the holiday season, and the Hawks are going to gift us the 7th win of the year. We'll talk to you after the game on Wednesday, which will actually happen Thursday. Peace.
I'm MJ Acosta-Ruiz.
And I'm Lindsay Zarniak.
And together we'll be hosting the On Her Turf podcast. This summer, On Her Turf is hosting a daily Olympics podcast
that focuses exclusively on women's sports and the amazing women competing in Tokyo.
We'll bring you interviews with Olympians and in-depth analysis on your favorite teams.
Plus, we're going to talk about some of the challenges still facing women's sports today.
So join us daily at On Her Turf as we cover all the excitement of the Tokyo Olympics.
Be sure to check us out on Apple Podcasts and be sure to follow On Her Turf on Twitter and Instagram too.